This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. According to American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman, U.S. agriculture exported more than $152 billion in products last year alone, and there's room for more growth yet. With Trade Promotion Authority expected to take center stage on the legislative agenda this spring, farmers and ranchers are ready for trade agreements that create business and boost the American economy. TPA legislation isn't new, but now is prime time for renewal. It first passed in 1974 and has been critical to the success of important agreements for U.S. agriculture with South Korea, Colombia, and Panama. We're now ready to expand our markets even further with ambitious trade negotiations across the globe from Asia to Europe. But we need to stand firm and show other countries that we're ready to act on final offers at the negotiating table. TPA creates an important partnership between the administration and Congress to move trade agreements forward. The U.S. economy loses out when trade agreements are crushed in the final hour by deal-killing amendments. We weaken our standing in the global marketplace and hand economic leadership over to other countries. With TPA, the administration represents our best interests before other countries without flying solo in negotiations. Congress and the administration must continue to shape and set priorities based on what they're hearing directly from American businesses. This is where agriculture can continue to take a leading role in shaping our trade agenda. Farmers and ranchers know the challenges we face in other markets, and it's our job to get this message to policymakers. When we're all on the same page in negotiations, the process moves swiftly as Congress can act on final agreements with a straight up or down vote. Limiting access to American food just doesn't make sense. Farmers and ranchers are ready to bring their goods to new markets, but high tariffs and non-scientific barriers place our exports at a disadvantage. Take the EU, for example. Last year, the U.S. exported $12.7 billion in agricultural products to the EU, but we also imported $18.7 billion in agricultural products from the EU. These numbers don't mean we had less to sell. Our markets are simply more open, while the EU continues to let politics rather than science dictate its trade restrictions. Meanwhile, on the other side of the globe, our trade with Japan is just a fraction of what it could be, largely because of price restrictions and high tariffs. American businesses rely on trade agreements to break down barriers and create a more balanced marketplace for all. But we must come to negotiations with a clear agenda and the authority to back it up. The U.S. is on the verge of completing one of our most ambitious trade agendas in decades. TPA is essential to completing these agreements, including the Trans-Pacific Partnership with 11 other countries across the Asia-Pacific region and the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership with the European Union. TPA expired too long ago. Congress and the administration need to work together to renew it before valuable trade relationships are spoiled. The population is growing, and many ask how it will be possible to feed 9 billion to 10 billion people by 2050. Owen Paterson, member of the British Parliament and former Secretary of State for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs of the United Kingdom, is posing a different question, however. How do we feed them well? Addressing the annual South African Agricultural Biotechnology Industry ISAAA media conference last month, Paterson advocated for the use of biotechnology in Africa prior to dispelling four popular GMO myths. He began by saying, South Africa is the leader on this continent with 2.7 million biotech hectares planted, but other nations are catching up. In Burkina Faso, 70% of all cotton in the country is now insect-resistant BT cotton, a GMO. And field trials are underway in Cameroon, Egypt, Ghana, Kenya, Malawi, Nigeria, and Uganda on a broad range of new crops, from biotech bananas to maize to cowpeas. Paterson then tackled the first of four myths head-on, correcting the idea that farmers are tricked by big, profit-hungry biotech companies into needlessly paying more for GM seeds over traditional non-biotech seeds. Instead, findings show that biotech crops have increased crop yield overall by 22%, increased farmer profits by 68%, and reduced chemical pesticide use by 37%. The second myth asserts that the only way to actually help the environment is to abandon modern agriculture technology and embrace purely organic farming. Patterson refutes this idea by saying that all of modern agriculture, including GMOs, nitrogen fertilizer, and modern pesticides, has probably done more to save natural habitats, support biodiversity, and save endangered species than all the other environmental, NGO or non-governmental organization, and UN conservation activities put together. He continued dispelling the myth by referencing glyphosate, which NGOs so love to criticize. While glyphosates are indeed bad for weeds, the toxicity to animals is less than vinegar to humans. Something to think about next time you dress your salad. Continuing along those lines, the third myth questions how safe it really is for humans to eat GM products. Unfortunately, anti-GMO campaigners continue to question the safety of eating genetically modified foods, despite the universal opinion of every independent scientific institution globally that GMOs are as safe as any other food. Everyone values safe food, farmers and consumers alike. But many believe that biotech crops only benefit farmers and offer no consumer benefits. Patterson corrected this fourth myth by looking at the environmental, economic, and nutritional benefits GM crops offer. Biotechnology increases protection of wild lands by focusing on sustainability and offers less expensive foods to consumers. But it also plays a large role in finding cures and preventing many ailments that developing nations still encounter. Patterson also outlined the public health benefits of developing more affordable, nutrient-rich foods like golden rice. Golden rice is enhanced with vitamin A, producing beta-carotene, and was created for the purpose of fighting vitamin A deficiency. The inventors donated the technology for use in the public sector in developing countries to benefit the poor worldwide. Vitamin A deficiency is the principal cause of childhood blindness globally, affecting 500,000 children annually, of which half die within a year or two, Patterson noted. So how do we feed the growing population well? Thanks to tools like biotechnology, farmers and ranchers are leading the way in not just answering that question, but in stepping up to get the job done. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.